those of you who are here in person and those of us joining online, because we are live today. The computer is working, the internet's working, so I think we're good to go. We have a few announcements this morning. The basket offering is being taken up on the first and third Sundays of the month. Today is the first Sunday of February. So the basket offering for today will go toward the Life Center. This afternoon are the annual audits. Hopefully all of the church treasurers will be ready to go for that. Next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm talking about S-O-U-P-E-R, Super Bowl Sunday. We're hoping next week to tackle hunger in our community, and so if you'll bring non-perishable foods to help fill the blessing box next Sunday, Soup Herbal Sunday. Please make sure that you check your mail after worship this morning. Your 2021 contribution statements are in your mailbox, and some of you have even fuller mailboxes filled with some other things. We have a few birthdays this week. Karen Beck, Cameron Cecil, Myra Beck, Herbert Frank, Brantley Bunton, Carol Conrad, Carol Lohr, and Lincoln Murphy. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I have quite a few cards to read this morning. First is from Mitchell Watts, grandson of Frank and Janine. I just wanted to say thank you for the prayer shawl for my jaw surgery. I appreciate you thinking of me and for all of the prayers. Thank you to Mrs. Palmer for crocheting. The Tar Heel colors look great. Thanks again, Mitchell. This is from Lee Comer. Thank you so much for the Christmas bonus. It was very kind of you to remember me. I consider it a great privilege to take care of the church grounds, and I appreciate the opportunity. In Christ, Lee. Let's see. This one is from Paul and Carolina, who are back in worship today. We're so grateful that you have done such a good job recovering. I know it was not always easy wearing that big brace and doing all of your exercises, but we're grateful for all that you did because now you are back with us. Dear members, thanks to each and every one of you that has shown so much love, caring, and kindness in numerous ways during my convalescence from a bad fall. We are blessed to be in a church community that is willing to help in any way when needed. God bless all of you, Carolina. We have a prayer shawl this morning. This is for Nathan Pettis, who is Neil and Terry Clark's 15-year-old nephew. A couple of weeks ago, he slipped on the ice and broke a couple of places in his back. He had surgery, and it's going to be a challenging recovery. So we want to pray over this prayer shawl and send it to Nathan. God, we give you thanks for the gift of prayer, that we can come to you anytime about anything, that you are waiting to hear us, the desires of our hearts, our needs, our requests. We ask that you would be with Nathan as he continues to heal from his fall and his surgery. Help him to have the motivation to continue to do his exercises and to get up and walk around so that he can have healing and get back to an active life. We ask that you bless this prayer shawl. When he is covered with it, may he also feel covered with the love and prayers of all of us here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. Amen. Are there any other announcements that I'm forgetting? Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Let us then prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God,
Let us pray. Most holy God, the earth is filled with your glory, and before you angels and saints stand in awe. Enlarge our vision to see your power at work in the world, and by your grace, make us heralds of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for me?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 138. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart.
Before the gods, I will sing your praise.
I will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name because of your steadfast love and faithfulness.
For you have glorified your name and your word above all things.
When I called, you answered me. All the rulers of the earth will praise you, O Lord.
When they have heard the words of your mouth,
they will sing of the ways of the Lord.
That great is the glory of the Lord.
The Lord is high, yet cares for the lowly.
Perceiving the lofty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You will make good your purpose for me.
O Lord, your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaim to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I would like to invite the children, of whom there's just one today, Calvin, but he graciously said he would come up anyway. Hi, pal. Thanks for coming up. You have a really good heart. I wanted to just talk a little bit about angels this morning. It's not something that we often talk about in worship, although they are mentioned several times in our worship service, but you never know what something quite looks like. They didn't give us a good description of what they look like. That's true. You know, so much of what we think about angels comes from folklore, it comes from myths, it comes from TV and movies. But if we were to think of angels in our brain, what we think of is actually probably not found in scripture. It comes from those other places that I just mentioned. I mean, if you think about what you see on TV or in the movies, or even atop some Christmas trees, the angel looks like a human with wings, right? Sometimes a halo, but that's not ever described in scripture that angels would be humans. In fact, angels are not humans, and they're not dead humans either. Sometimes people think that when somebody dies, they go to heaven and become an angel, and that's not true either, because humans are created in the image of God, and so there is something special about humans. Angels are created to worship and praise God. They are created to be messengers for God. In fact, in the prayer of the day, when I prayed that by God's grace, we too might become heralds of God's good news, herald is another name for an angel. So Calvin says that, actually, let me take my mic off and you can say all that into the mic.
I said that God had, like, these little henchmen are his angels, essentially. You're going to tell this lady, Mary, that she's going to be having a baby with this man named Joseph because I said so and I'm God. complete control of your life. Kaka.
So angels are messengers, and that is one of the reasons that God created them. So the first part of what you said was that God created them for this very specific purpose. So God did create them to worship and praise God and to be messengers. And actually the word that we translate angels from in Greek, it means messenger. So that's really what an angel is. They're a messenger. And so you listed off one of the places in Scripture that angels are mentioned. One, when the angel came to Mary to tell her that she was going to have a baby. There's another place when the angel comes to Elizabeth and tells her that, goes to Zechariah and tells him that he and Elizabeth are going to have a baby. There's an angel that appears to Joseph to tell him that Mary's going to have a baby. Can you think of any other places in Scripture? You feel like there's a whole colony of angels?
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the places in worship where angels are mentioned is when I'm at the table presiding over communion, and the first part I say, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Well, actually, in one of the creeds that we believe in, there are two primary creeds that Lutherans believe in. One is the Apostles' Creed, and one is the Nicene Creed. We don't say the Nicene Creed too much here. Maybe we should do that a little bit more. But in the Nicene Creed, it says, "We believe in one God, the Father, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen." And so I think that angels would fall into that unseen category. They are invisible to us, but that just because something is invisible doesn't mean that it's not real to God, right? So Calvin thinks that maybe there's a GPS system that God has created for the angels so that God knows where all the angels are. That's very clever. So the reason I wanted to talk about angels today is because there are so many things that we think about and that sometimes we see on TV or movies or read about in books that are kind of related to church stuff. But sometimes when we see them in TV and movies or read about them in books, it isn't always accurate for what Scripture says. And as Lutherans, we believe one of the five tenets of the Reformation, sola scriptura, that we believe in Scripture alone, and so if there's something we have a question about, we go back to Scripture and see what it says. And so in the Old Testament lesson today, there was a description of a seraph where it had six wings, two covering its eyes, two covering its feet, and two flying. If their eyes were covered, I don't know how they saw where they were going. Maybe there's a third eye somewhere, who knows? But it's just a reminder that creation is so much bigger than we can imagine, and that in the realm of God, in the kingdom of God, God is at work even when we don't see it, even when there isn't evidence around it. And I believe that God's angels are doing God's will on God's behalf. They're also praising God, and sometimes they take care of humans and minister to us just like they ministered to Jesus in the desert. That's right. So do you have any questions? You know I love your questions.
Well, I wonder how...
That is a good question. Calvin wants to know, how are angels created?
Do they come pre-baptized?
You know, I don't know how angels are created. That's something that I would have to think about in my imagination. And someday when I get to heaven, maybe that's one of the things that I'm going to ask God about. Or maybe we'll get to meet angels and we can ask them how they are created.
Hey,
I bet it is a really interesting story. It is all a mystery. We do have a few glimpses in Scripture, but you're right. It is a mystery.
He's like a big old...
Nobody
will ever fulfill and understand what God, like, what he, how he came to be. Nobody will ever understand that. That's just, like, I feel like he destined that, like, for humans to not be able to know it, because it's, like, one of the secrets, maybe, that he just is like, hey, we're going to give you this information about this in the Bible, but we're not going to, like, completely give you every single detail about this.
And there you go. That is a very accurate understanding of what our faith life is like, that there is a lot of mystery about God and about creation, but that we have to be okay with the mystery and trust that God is present with us, and that someday we will fully know, but not today. And so today we ask questions, and we wonder, and we have an imagination. Well, let's pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for your church. Thank you for Calvin. Thank you that he asks good and hard questions. And that he helps us to think more deeply about you. Help us to be okay with not knowing everything, but to trust that you are always with us, and that someday, when we are in heaven with you, all of our questions will be answered. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know, Cal. That's a really good question. Thank you for coming up. I love Calvin's questions. I love his thoughtfulness. And I think he brings a smile to my face every time I see him and that he asks questions. Thank you for coming up today, even though you are the only kid here, Calvin. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to think with me all of the places in our worship service where we think about baptism, where baptism is referenced, or where we are reminded of our baptism. I'll give you a minute to think about it. Kind of a pop quiz. Well, one of the places that we remember baptism is during the confession. I don't know if you noticed, but every time we do confession, I always walk to the font and lead the prayer of confession and the absolution from the font, because it is in the waters of baptism that we are given the forgiveness of sins. And so when we ask for forgiveness each week and when we receive it, it happens at the font. Any time that we make the sign of the cross over ourselves in worship, we do that as a remembrance that in our baptism, we are marked with the cross of Christ forever. So when we gather in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we remember our baptism. When we receive the forgiveness of sins, we remember our baptism. When we receive the blessing, every time we make the sign of the cross, we remember that we are marked with the cross of Christ forever in baptism. That's why we do this. Well, how about when the assisting minister says at the end of the service, "Go in peace, share the good news." Have you ever thought of that being a reminder of our baptism, or connecting us to our baptism? Well, it is. Because week after week, we gather together, we hear God's word, we share a meal together, and then we are sent out into the world, the weary and needy world that God so loves, to bear the good news of Christ. When we are sent in peace to share the good news, it reminds us of the calling that each of us receives in baptism. When someone is baptized, the pastor says, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And then the baptized is welcomed with these words, "We welcome you into the body of Christ and into the mission that we share, to give thanks and praise to God and to bear God's creative and redeeming love to all the world." So when we are sent each week in peace to share the good news, we are reminded that in baptism, we are joined to the mission of the body of Christ to bear God's creative and redeeming love to all the world. Each of us here, every single person ever created that has been baptized, has this calling, not just pastors or deacons, although God does call some to be set apart as pastors and deacons, but the entire church, all the baptized, are called to bear God's creative and redeeming love to all the world. As Lutherans, we believe in the priesthood of all believers, meaning that in baptism, we all become priests, that we all receive this calling to let our light shine and to let God's love be reflected in us. We are all called to be disciples. We are all called to be followers of Jesus. We are all called to share the good news in word and in deed. But far too often, we think that it's other people who have the calling to share the good news. We think that it's maybe pastors or deacons, that it's their job. Or it's people like Isaiah and Peter and Paul, who we heard about in today's scriptures in their call stories. They're the ones who are called. But we don't often think about God calling us. And if pressed about it, I think each of us, including myself, would offer a variety of reasons why God shouldn't call us, why God shouldn't use me to share the good news, why God shouldn't use us to help reveal Jesus and God's love to the world. In today's gospel reading, we encounter Jesus along the lake shore with people pressing in around him. I think it's interesting to note that already this early on in his earthly ministry, people are increasingly drawn to him. But it's along this lake shore that we meet three fishermen. And we hear Jesus' words calling them to follow him. This story is familiar to us. Every year in the season after Epiphany, we hear one of the fishers of men stories. But sometimes the familiarity can prevent us from hearing some of the details that would have sounded so absurd, so ridiculous, to the original hearers of the gospel. Like, if God is going to go to the trouble of sending God's only Son into the world to redeem it, don't you think God would have chosen someone really qualified to be his disciple? I mean, think about it. Jesus saving the world, that's a pretty big deal. Wouldn't God be better off trusting the more religious folks with the responsibility of being Jesus' disciple for this mission instead of Peter and some of these other fishermen? I mean, at the very least, Jesus could have done a job search, collected resumes, references, etc., etc. And Jesus probably should have chosen someone with an impressive resume, excellent references, proven leadership skills, high success rates on projects previously completed. This is kind of what makes sense to us. But this isn't how Jesus went about calling disciples, then or now. In Jesus choosing Peter to follow him, he doesn't choose someone with experience in this particular area or someone who is particularly religious. And let's face it, we all know the rest of Peter's story. He is a little too proud, maybe a lot too proud. He doesn't always get things right. He doesn't always pay attention. He often misses the point. And let's not forget that after being with Jesus 24/7 for 3 years, witnessing all that he did during that time, he still denies Jesus not once, but 3 times. I hate to say it, but I kind of want to question Jesus' decision-making here. Are you sure you want to have Peter follow you? Are you sure you want him to be your rock, that you want to build the church up upon him? Jesus, shouldn't you look for someone else to be your disciple? But the truth is, God finds possibilities for grace in the most unexpected places and through the most unlikely people. While others are looking for experience, knowledge, religiousness, power, influence, success, in modern day America, we put too much emphasis on appearance. When others are looking at all of these things, God sees possibilities for grace in places and people that we don't. Sometimes our sinfulness and our brokenness can prevent us from seeing God's intent and God's grace at work in the world around us. Our human seeing makes it hard for us, if not impossible at times, to believe that God can find possibilities for grace in us. In Peter, the world saw an unimpressive, unknown fisherman. But Jesus chose him to be a disciple. Jesus chose Peter to help reveal Jesus and share the good news with all the world. Think about it. Jesus himself didn't even fit into worldly standards. Rather than being born in a grand and beautiful palace, he was born in a stable, in a feeding trough. Rather than riding into Jerusalem on a beautiful and majestic stallion, he rode in on a donkey. In Jesus, a carpenter's son from Galilee, the world saw an unimpressive and unlikely Savior. Yet in Christ, God's true anointed one, the Messiah, God's love took on human form and forever gives us hope and eternal life and salvation and grace upon grace upon grace. This story of Jesus calling Peter reminds us that most often the people God chooses for God's grace are not the obvious people that the world would choose. God doesn't care about our resumes or our work experience. God doesn't exclude people because of their appearance or because they aren't eloquent enough or because they haven't studied the Bible enough or whatever other reason you can come up with that you think God shouldn't use you. It doesn't matter to God. In the waters of baptism, God lavished love upon you, adopting you as God's sons and daughters. You were marked with the cross of Christ forever. You were filled with the Holy Spirit, who gives you gifts to share God's news, to share God's love and mercy and grace with all the world. All throughout Scripture and all throughout the church's history, God has used flawed and fragile human beings to proclaim God's mercy and love and grace. Brothers and sisters, God finds opportunities and possibilities for grace in the most unexpected places and in the most unlikely people, even us. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ,
God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord is poured out upon us in abundance, so we are bold to pray for the church, the world, and all that God has made. Equip your church to proclaim the good news that we have received, the forgiveness and grace shown to us through Jesus Christ. Send us out as apostles, sharing the hope of your salvation with a waiting world. God of grace, holy are you, O God of hosts. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Reveal your splendor in fiery sunsets and in deep blue twilights. Teach us to recognize you in the beauty of our natural world. God of grace, soften the hearts of rulers and governments that they perceive and tend to the needs of the hurting and most vulnerable. Remove corruption and cease violence. Protect first responders and military personnel who risk their lives in service of others. God of grace, your steadfast love endures forever. Do not abandon those who look to you for hope and healing. Bless doctors, nurses, social workers, therapists, and all caregivers. Draw near to those who are scared, sick, or in pain, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Raven and Tim, Duty, John, Mike, Carolina, Neil, Latifa, Bob, the family of Joanne Turner, Sandra, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. God of grace, the disciples received help from partners as they brought in an abundance of catch of fish. So strengthen this congregation's partnerships with community organizations and ministries. Multiply our shared efforts and bring joy to our relationships. God of grace, we give thanks for our ancestors in faith who boldly answered your call. By their example, give us courage to live in faith and to proclaim your mercy until the day that you gather us into your glory. God of grace,
since we have such great hope in your promises, O God, we lift these and all our prayers to you in confidence and faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, sovereign of the universe. You offer us new beginnings and guide us on our journey. Lead us to your table, nourish us with this heavenly food, and prepare us to carry your love to a hungry world. In the name of Christ, our light. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Lift
up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved son. And in the miracle of water turned into wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to God's table. There is a place for you here, and enough for all.
Thank you.
Please stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, gracious God, for we have feasted on the abundance of your love. Send us to bring good news and to proclaim your favor to all. Strengthened with the richness of your grace, in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go with Christ into a weary world. Share the good news.